Hi, this is Rosanna Hicken, and welcome to Salty Housewife, a podcast where a Utah mom breaks down everything we are seeing on Real Houses of Salt Lake. And today, at the very end of our episode, we're going to touch a little bit on Potomac, too. A little tiny bit with my guest, Ashley Nelson. She is here for episode 5 of season 4 of Real Houses of Salt Lake, which is called The Nastiness and the Rumors. And my friend Ashley is another Ohio native that is now living here in Utah. And I think the majority of our TikToks that we send back to each other are Bravo related. So please welcome Ashley.
Hi.
So happy to have you here.
I'm so glad you've finally done this. I feel like I've been telling you if anybody needed a podcast, it's you. Maybe you and Doug at some point
have us together. I need Doug to watch so that Doug can give us his insights. A man's insights, because you know it's very different.
Yes.
A straight man. Very different.
Very different.
He cannot stand these kinds of shows, but I think I need to get him on here.
Well, they say they can't stand them, but then like walk past and they're like, well, who's that?
Oh, yeah.
What are they doing?
Yes.
So.
And I was telling him some of the drama. Like I was telling him some of the Monica Heather lawsuit. Did you see that?
Yes.
I was seeing, and then my friend.
Which I have so many questions already.
So many, but my friend just texted us today in our group chat. And this is what is coming out now. So, you know the website Dumois?
Yeah.
Where they do the gossip. This was on Dumois today. And the subject is Broke Criminal Snowflake.
Oh, no.
And it says, the lies are flying around Salt Lake City from this broke snowflake. Who is Monica?
Well, it could be all of them.
It could be all of them, but I think they're talking about Monica. This broke snowflake who allegedly mysteriously got a lot of money after a main snowflake lost her $60,000 uninsured piece.
Oh, no.
What more tea?
No.
Allegedly, all the snowflakes are sure that the broke snowflake stole the piece, one of the many reasons why no one wants her on the show anymore. But the broke snowflake will probably blame her mom. Can you die? Did you die?
Okay, but can you imagine if it's not true?
Oh, it's a horrible thing to say.
Yes.
Yes. But did you notice that nobody was with her at BravoCon? Did you watch any of the BravoCon stuff?
I haven't seen a lot of Salt Lake BravoCon.
So literally stuff. Monica is not, this is alleged. That is an alleged piece about Monica. Monica is not with the ladies at all. You see Heather and Angie together. You see Whitney and Meredith together. Monica was not with any of them at any point.
Because if you knew anybody was saying anything like that about you.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to be around
them. I wouldn't want to talk to anybody either.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, not first of all, if she stole it, not the shadiest thing that's happened.
On the show?
I mean, there are people in jail for... Mm-hmm. I don't see it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, that's good.
I don't
know. That's good.
And I feel like it's a really,
that's why
it's a lot to
accuse somebody of.
Accuse somebody of.
Yeah, that is why it's on Dumois, a gossip site that really has no credibility until it comes out.
And a lot of the things end up
not being true.
Not being true, but then they just never talk about him again.
Yeah.
Like they'll throw things like this out and they just never hear about it.
The only thing we know for sure is true is this like counter lawsuit with Monica and Heather and Beauty Lab, which is.
And the $2,800 worth of Botox and filler in one sitting.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Once, and then she just didn't pay it. She paid like her deposit and then she left. This is what I wonder if. So she left. I wonder if this is what the Bermuda drama that we see at the beginning of the season is about. When Heather's like, what? And she's on the phone. I wonder if they realize it's Monica. You know what I mean? Like, how's Heather going to be so nice to her if she had known this whole time that Monica didn't pay? But if she didn't realize it was Monica, maybe that's what it is.
That hadn't paid?
I don't know. Again, we don't want it to be a letdown because we want it to actually be good drama because last season was the worst drama with that black eye. Give us good drama. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll see. Ashley's like, I don't know. Okay, let's start in the episode. We're home back in Salt Lake after the wild trip to Palm Springs. And we start with Meredith telling Seth about the trip. And
I can't get past anything in that conversation besides Seth saying, "Whoa, Nelly."
Did he say that?
Yes. Yes.
I say, "Whoa, Nelly."
I've never heard you say, "Whoa, Nelly," let alone. How old is he?
Probably 50. Am I closer in age to Seth than I think I am?
Oh my god! Listen, I don't care. I don't care. No one says "Whoa, Nelly." No one.
I didn't even hear it. I think they're at HSL. I didn't hear
anything else they said.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! My face is like so red right now. I am dying. Okay, so she's telling Seth about the trip, and she says that she heard rumors about Angie K. And I am honestly so over Meredith talking about like the rumors that she hears about people's family. I'm so over it. I'm so over it. What do you think?
I am so over Whitney running to everybody about it then.
And telling everybody?
Well, because did Meredith ever really say that that's what the rumor she heard was?
Well, we get this at the end of the episode, so we'll get there. Okay. It's Monica who tells Angie. So, yes, let's wait and see, because I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
So, but then we have Lisa and Meredith meet at Mint Facial Bar for their facials.
A facial analysis.
And before they start, Lisa says she's banned from Park City Tan.
Also, this woman said she spends $60,000 a year on glam, but she doesn't have someone coming to her home to do spray tans?
I don't know. She's going
tanning. She's going to Park City. And is that spray tanning or like tanning?
It's tanning, I think.
I think by the looks of her face on the skin analysis.
It's tanning.
It's tanning.
I was dying. Which we shouldn't be doing anymore. Like we can do a spray tan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also it made me laugh because it reminded me of high school. She's like, they said they couldn't get me in getting tan. I'm like, ooh, when was the last time my tanning salon got mad at me? When I was in high school.
Well, also, aren't most tanning salons open till like 11 o'clock at night?
What time was she trying to go tan? I remember.
They closed.
Yeah. I remember in high school, it was like before prom. This was back when like we did not know that tanning beds were that bad for you.
I mean, I think we kind of knew.
Yeah, but we ignored it because we were 17.
It didn't matter.
Sunscreen, what's that?
No wrinkles.
Yeah. And I remember being like, oh, I'm going to go tanning today and tomorrow because it was like Thursday, Friday before prom. And I went in on Thursday and then Friday they were like, it hasn't been 24 hours since you tanned. You can't come back. And I was like, what do you mean? It's a whole day. They're like, no, you have to wait 24 hours. And I was like, I had to walk of shame out of the tanning salon.
I remember when I think it was a senior and I was wearing a white dress to prom.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you had to get tan.
I had to get tan.
Yeah.
And it was... You could not even differentiate my facial features. I was so tan.
Oh, the early 2000s.
I just looked like teeth and eyes.
And your white dress.
And a very, very tan face and body.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Yeah, they get their face scanned. And it's honestly the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. Lisa says, that's not cute.
I'm surprised she let them show it.
I know. Actually. I know. It wasn't cute. It was scary.
My other thing about the skin analysis, because they told Meredith she had a little buildup.
Okay.
And Lisa needed some exfoliating.
Yeah.
That's the same thing.
Oh, is it?
I mean.
This is an esthetician's daughter, by the way.
Well, if you have buildup, you would use an exfoliator to stop that.
So it's the same thing.
But then they're telling. So I
just in two
question
different words.
The legitimacy of the analysis.
Except for it making you, what did she say? It made her look like an avatar. They are getting their facials and Lisa says she cries every day thinking about Jack being gone on his mission, which I thought was very sweet because
I would too.
He's going to be gone for 2 years. And you and I don't have kids that are out of the house yet, but I feel like it's going to be such a strange feeling when it happens. You have older brothers that left the house. I was the oldest, so I never knew what it was like to have like a piece of the house missing.
Well, I didn't really
miss them.
Well, when it's your older brothers that are just tormenting you.
Yeah, you're like,
I was in high school, so then that's the most important thing in life is what's going on in high school.
Yeah.
But I remember taking my youngest brother, and I was like, this feels like the meanest thing in the world.
To drop him off.
Yeah. And now they can FaceTime and call, and they call so many times, but it used to be that you would only call twice a year.
Yep. On Mother's Day and Christmas for missions. Like, and now they can call once a week, FaceTime. And yeah, that's
they're chatting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a very new change.
But even still, I almost think that would make it harder.
To talk to them every week?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it just depends on
because
the kid.
Because like when we travel, I don't call my kids.
You don't?
Not really.
You don't check in with them?
I'll check in with like whoever's taking care of them or where they are. But for the most part, I feel like we're both more sad
when talk to each other. I get that.
So
yeah,
I don't know. Because I feel like when we would talk to my brothers on Christmas or Mother's Day, the rest of the day was like, wah, wah.
Yeah. Because you're like, oh, I just wish they were home. But they're off on their mission. Yeah, that's very true. And he's gone now. So I wonder how she's doing.
Yeah. Columbia.
Did she post that on her Instagram or do you just know that?
She said it.
Oh, did she say it? Okay.
Oh, maybe that's in later episodes.
Oh, okay.
Because she talks about him other people getting held up at gunpoint.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's right. Lisa says that she's going to have a party and she's going to invite all the girls. She's not going to, again, she knows this is a cast party. You have to invite everybody. And Monica is invited, even though she does not like her. And then we get to a scene with Monica and Whitney meeting at a restaurant. I felt like this was so weird. They did not vibe at all at this conversation. Did you think they did?
No, because I don't think Whitney makes sense. Like, I feel like when she walks in to talk about something, it's like she's done a quick Google of like the hot button word she should use. Mm-hmm. And then she'll say things and then a long pause. And then we'll say something else. So if you were to take that pause out, the sentence doesn't make any sense. But she's used these big words that I'm like, I don't even really know what you're saying.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay.
Then she'll say things to Monica and Monica's like,
well, Monica, Monica sticks up for herself. She says that Monica says she's just going to, like, she wants to move past with Lisa. She's just going to call her materialistic fuddy-duddy. And Whitney's like, don't do that. And she says to Monica that she didn't like how she was on the trip. And she told Monica that she thought she was sucking up to Meredith and Heather. And Monica kind of like sticks up for herself at that point.
Which I would agree with.
She was sucking up?
Yeah.
Yep.
No.
Oh, you don't think she was sucking up?
I agreed with Monica.
Oh, that she defending herself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think that there's...
I don't think they like each other. That's why the conversation felt so awkward.
Whitney and Monica.
Yeah.
I don't think Whitney likes that Monica's younger than her. I think Whitney's thing has always been that she's the young.
Do we know how old Monica is? I mean, her daughter's like 17.
Yeah.
She's probably... They're probably the closest same age. I don't know how old she is.
But I would bet Monica's younger.
Yeah.
She looks significantly younger.
Shots fired.
Well, I mean, remember when Andy Cohen went on Vanderpump Rules and he's talking to Sheena at one of the reunions and he's asking her, he's like makes a comment about the Botox making her look older.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
No.
It was a while ago.
And what does Sheena say?
Well, she's devastated by the comment.
Yeah, of course she is. Of course she is.
And sometimes I think when you have so much Botox or so much filler, you look older.
I agree. And we know that the housewives can sometimes take it a little too far.
Mm-hmm. But so I think I was on Monica's side.
Okay.
One, because...
You hate Whitney.
No. One, because Angie said some pretty horrendous things.
She was doing a lot.
Especially for not being invited.
On the trip. Yeah.
Yes. And it is Meredith's hosted trip that then
she
was attacking her about things.
Yeah.
Also in one of the flashbacks, Angie K tells Meredith she looks like a trampoline with eyes.
We talked about that on the other episode and I I said, I'm going to put that in my little black book as a little dig. A trampoline with eyes, what does it mean?
I'm not quite sure what the dig is.
But it's the best.
Especially in the clip of her saying it, she looks crazy. She has like that
green wig on.
Green wig on. Mm-hmm. So, there's I don't know.
There was a lot going on in that episode.
I think if I was, and I don't think Angie K and Monica are as good of friends as they would say.
No.
So, for Monica to... I feel like if we were sitting at a table, I would have said the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
If someone's like making a personal attack set.
I would have done the same thing. Yeah.
I would have said, if it was like my two best friends having the argument, I maybe would sit back and stay out of it.
Yeah. But when it felt really mean, because there were some really mean comments, I agree. I would have felt the same. Like, everybody stop. Let's just get along, which is, again, why I'll never be a housewife, because I just want everyone to get along. Rainbows and fairies.
You'll sneak out the back of the restaurant.
Okay. Okay. That did happen. We were, I'm not going to say where we were at dinner, but it was, I'm not going to say where, because I do love this place, but it was horrendous.
It wasn't the place.
It was the server.
One.
Well, it was the hostess
and
the server. It was, what it was just bad. And we were having a friend's baby shower and things got kind of like nasty with the hostess. And our server was having a hard time and the manager had to come. And it was really like the hostess was one of the rudest people I've ever encountered. Like,
yeah.
And I worked in the, I was a server all through high school and college. And it was so awkward. The manager had to come. He had to fix some stuff for us. The dinner was like 3.5 hours long when it should have been like 1.5 hours.
Yeah.
Because we waited like almost 1 hour to even like get drinks. It was crazy. And
but also I don't think any of us would have made a big deal.
No.
Except for that then one of our friends went to talk to the hostess.
Yeah. And she got nasty.
And the hostess got nasty.
The hostess got nasty.
I don't think our friend was nasty back, just more kind of like...
shocked.
And like standing her own ground.
Yeah. So it was very uncomfortable. And when the manager came to talk to us, the hostess was standing in the doorway watching the whole interaction. So then when it was time to leave, I went out the back. Everybody walked through the restaurant past the hostess and I literally went out the back door around the entire restaurant and met them at the front. I said, I will not.
And the funny thing is that like, it didn't even, it didn't make you look bad at all. Mm-hmm. You just couldn't.
I couldn't handle it. My entire body was screaming how uncomfortable I was. I couldn't handle it. I was like, I gotta go. I gotta be out of here. I can't be here. I cannot go. Oh gosh. Okay. Moving on. We're back with Whitney. We're at Whitney's house. Justin is getting a new job. So Justin has a cake. I thought
it's a very fancy cake for
a new job.
And no one else being there, but
maybe they had family over later. But Justin couldn't work for a year because he had to sign a non-compete.
Okay.
I thought non-compete was just when it was in the same like industry. Yes.
That's the other thing. She sits down in her confession. She's very, very confident. She's like, Justin had a non-compete, which means he can't work for a year.
But you can work if you're working in a different field.
Yes. And yes.
You just can't be like, if you're in like...
It can't be a competitor.
Yeah. So there's other places he could have worked.
I don't know how many times non-competes really hold up.
Okay. Interesting.
Anyway, I don't think they hold up at all in the state of California.
Yeah. I just thought to myself, I think he just took a break for a year.
I think he was with a California company. So.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't know.
It was the whole conversation was awkward because Justin and Whitney are talking about who's going to do the household responsibilities.
Well, and it's like what they obviously like you haven't had a conversation about this
before. I know. Also get a nanny if you need it. Like honestly, if you need someone to pick up the kids from school, get a nanny if you're both working. That's what a lot of people do. Oh,
she wants to be so involved in her kids' lives. Okay.
Well, it just felt like a weird, like maybe we should have talked about this before we started filming. That's how I felt.
Well, I feel like this painted canvas sex scene broke Justin Rose.
I agree. And we know that he got fired from his job from it. I know. Poor guy. He's like, let me just work, please. Let me just work and not have to be on TV that much. Please just let me work.
Because I know quite a few people who have worked with him for a long time and love him.
Yeah. But he was like forced into that situation.
Housewives broke Justin Rose.
Oh my gosh. My whole body feels so awkward. Okay.
Can you imagine?
No.
Doug? If your husband.
No.
Or mine.
No.
lost their job because you made him.
I would never. Also, can you imagine my mother if I did that on TV? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Actually, that might be the only scene that your husband would have agreed to film with you on Bravo. He's like, no, I'm not going to dinner. The canvas covered in paint?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we get a brief scene, Angie and the husband. I was confused at first because I thought they were in their bedroom. And I'm like, why is this bed so low to the ground? I don't know if you noticed it, but it's literally like 4 inches off the ground. But that's Electra's bed. So she does have a bed to sleep in, but sometimes she sleeps with them.
No, all the time she sleeps with them, they said.
They put her to bed in her own bed that night.
Well, it takes both of them to do everything for her, which is a little...
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
And she talks about her... She was like, it's just hard for me right now to remember. I'm like, she is not a newborn baby.
She's like 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like, I understand the newborn phase or the toddler or you've got multiple, but...
She's a teenager now.
Ma'am, that Electra with a K is going to be... out of the house.
In 5 years?
Maybe not. Maybe she'll just always be there. But then you got to figure out your husband.
I know. Because then when she's gone, you got that's the person you're married to for another 50 years. That's who you want to be with. I agree. There's definitely some stuff there. Then we get to Heather. She's having a ski day with her daughters. They're skiing up in Park City. They sit down and they have some hot cocoa. Heather gets dirty snow from the side of the snow thing to put in her hot cocoa. Disgusting. But then Heather asks the girls if they're nervous to go to school because of bullying. And this was sad, but also the girls seemed a little unbothered. Like, I don't know if it's as big of a deal.
Well, I do think...
But maybe they just don't want to talk about it on camera.
Because... I don't think kids would get bullied for not being an active member of the LDS church.
Yes, because we have kids, plenty of kids by us who our kids are friends with that don't go to church, and I have no idea.
Well, and like even my son that's in junior high, I have no idea
which of his friends
do or don't.
Yeah.
And same thing, like their parents would have no idea. Yeah. And I've never heard anybody ever say,
yeah,
we don't let our kids play with them because
they don't go to church. And there could be other, like, well, Heather said book that caused most of the drama.
Well, which
is really the main source of it.
Right.
Is
which would be,
book.
I can see, I mean, junior high and high school is hard enough when you have a mom who's on television and then writes a book like that comes out.
Mm-hmm. I feel like most of the kids on the show are going to have something happen to them because of who their mother is on the show. Like Whitney's kids, when they get into middle school, like that's what really makes it the hardest probably. It's like,
the canvas painting's going to come back.
I saw your mom in a canvas painting, or I saw your mom puking and peeing her pants on the Sprinter van, or I saw your mom in a green wig saying someone was a trampoline with eyes, you know?
But I think that the book, when it is religion, is something that people
feel sensitive about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you're in high school with boys that are getting ready, I mean, it's going to be something that gets brought up.
I hope it doesn't. I hope it stops because and the girls had such a good attitude about it. They're like, I just kind of laugh with it. Cause if you seem like it doesn't affect you, hopefully these kids just stop. Cause grow up, everybody. Grow up.
But I also think most kids are not coming out of junior high school unscathed.
Oh yeah.
Getting made fun of about something.
I know.
Not that that makes it okay.
Right.
But
right. So now we get to the party, and this is where the rest of the drama for the episode goes down. Lisa's throwing her party. She's like, oh my gosh, everything looks beautiful. Whitney shows up with a shot ski for her, which they have at the Watch What Happens Live studio.
But this one's a Vita tequila one.
Oh, I didn't notice. She made it special for Lisa.
Yeah. So I looked up this place. I was assuming it was in Park City.
Oh, where is it?
It's in Eden.
Eden is where?
Like Pineview, Huntsville.
What?
Like Pineview Reservoir.
Why? Is it so far away? Guys, this is far.
Well, and I think I heard you and Kate talk about you're filming in the weirdest places.
Yeah, when we were talking about when they went to the hot springs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Utah is kind of a hidden gem. But I feel like the Mormons have kind of scared people coming to visit.
We want you to come visit. But stop moving here because our prices are too high.
Yeah, I don't move here, but come visit. And
don't be scared of us. We won't bite.
Yeah. But I feel like Utah is one of the country's best kept secrets for things that you can be going and doing.
Yeah.
And Eden is one of the most beautiful places. But you're not showing any of it except this random event center.
Which could have been done in Utah County. It could have been done anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also a beautiful ski resort up there.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And
we're just seeing the party.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Yeah, I wonder if they maybe got like some deals.
I wonder if it is really hard to get permission to film
places?
That
could be it. That could totally be it. Like people are like, I don't want to film. And I get it because like you have to like get people to sign waivers and all this stuff. Like maybe they just don't want to. It is an interesting party. Mara and Angie ignore each other until they have an awkward high. Angie's still wearing those like sunglasses.
She is really
Matrix sunglasses.
She is really trying to make the sunglass game
happen.
Yep.
She's wearing them inside. She also says she's had a nose job to get rid of her Greek nose, which okay. We all know she had one, but that's fine. Whatever makes you feel the most comfortable. And then we start the fight. There's a crepe station, which looked delicious.
It does look delicious. But there's no, this is what is so weird about some of their things. There's nowhere to sit and eat.
Yeah.
But now we know they've driven at least 2 hours to get there.
Yeah.
Unclear if it's brunch, lunch.
Or dinner.
Dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're not skiing. So they're just there for this party.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're at the crepe station. Monica's getting hers. And Lisa tells her that she's bugged that she called her materialistic. And Lisa says, read the room, Monica. Everyone here is materialistic. Balmain, Valentino. Balmain, right? Balmain. Balmain. There we go. Valentino. And Monica responds with, Zara, Steve Madden. And I'm like, okay. And these poor crepe workers are just like, you're fighting right in front of us. We are so uncomfortable. And
in the time of quiet luxury and Sophia Richie and Succession, Lisa seems a little
out of touch.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what Monica's saying.
Well, and it bothers me when Monica is saying like so upset about Lisa talking about her $60,000 ring. It would be more of a turnoff if Lisa was like,
Oh, yeah, that's who nothing. Cares? Yeah, I agree.
Like, wouldn't that be more upsetting
than
like you have a $60,000 ring that you don't even care about or you don't place any value in?
Mm-hmm. You're upset about it because it's expensive and you care about money. Like, you care about the value of what you lost. Yes, it's not nothing to you. It's $60,000. Like my sister said, that's someone's salary for a whole year.
So I don't like that argument of Monica's.
Yeah.
But
there's so many things going in right now.
And Monica, I mean, calling someone else materialistic when she talks about going into Louis Vuitton to buy a bag that she can't afford to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would think that would qualify as materialistic.
Yep. We get a weird moment where Monica says she went to the airport to give Lisa something for Jen, and Lisa's crying because she could have been on a jet with Snoop Dogg. And honestly, what are we even talking about?
I don't know, but I would have been crying too if I
didn't get to go
with
Snoop Dogg.
Could have been on a private jet with Snoop Dogg. Instead, I was in Terminal B.
Lisa said, I can go on a jet with Snoop Dogg whenever I want. She is like, why are you bringing this up? And then we have Mary, and she just shows up, and she's just standing there assessing the room. And she says, I'm overdressed. Mary's like,
and that Whitney looks cheap.
Mary's like, why did I bring this couture outfit to just be overdressed here in this room with all you basic women? And there's still more fighting. Lisa tells Monica she's rude. And Monica says, get your finger out of my face. And like, I don't think anything would set me off more than somebody pointing their finger in my face like that. Like,
I'd lose my mind.
That's when I would snap, I think. And Meredith's like, let me go say hi to Mary. And Mary shows off her outfit, which was great. Mm-hmm. But like, where did Mary think she was going? We're up in Eden, apparently.
At an event center.
And the outfits are out of control. Lisa's wearing like a denim thong.
She looks
over her like black leggings.
No, those are just the pants. But I could not stop. And thinking that she forgot to tuck in her bodysuit, snap in her bodysuit, and pull her pants up in her bodysuit. Tail was hanging out the back.
Nope, that was just her pants. Those were her pants. I looked at it so many times. I'm like, what am I looking at here? What? I think it's the denim.
Fashion is very subjective. Mm-hmm. We don't know that. And I know it was a very expensive outfit. Mm-hmm.
But
that doesn't mean
we wear
because
it?
Honestly, if I was looking at all those outfits, Monica is the one that
I would think
looked the best.
Yeah. I actually liked Angie in her body, like her jumpsuit too, but I think it's just because she wears everything well.
She does.
She does. And Lisa says to DJ Dolph, give us a beat. Start dancing in the middle of the afternoon. Again,
with their crepes.
Yeah, with their crepes. Again, my nightmare. Why are we dancing in the middle of a event center in the middle of the afternoon? I'd be like, oh.
No, there's a time and a place.
Yep.
And for then, the DJ to drop a beat.
And it's not at 3 p.m. in Eden.
Then and we get Meredith's cape.
Oh, yeah.
She and did there's so much white that I'm like, you guys can't hug each other.
I was
it
wondering
about the
white.
It stresses me out.
Mm-hmm. With the makeup bronzer.
And the spray tan and the.
Mm-hmm. And then we get the rudest thing Mary has ever said on this show. Here we go.
There's a couple things. Well, there are two things.
There's two things. And this is where Mary teeters the line for me because she can be so rude. She says to Monica, you like to eat. Every time I see you, you're eating. Do you ever eat vegetables? And then Monica's like, I love to eat. And she goes, you're a beautiful girl. Don't just eat your life away. First of all, what could you imagine if someone said that to you? The rudest thing I've ever heard. I'm happy Monica's eating. Let's get more women eating.
Me too, because I loved Monica's reaction. But also, even then, she's like, I'm going to get her to love me.
Yeah.
I was like, do you want her to?
No, we don't need Mary to love us. She's insane.
No.
No.
Because now, in my age, if someone were to say that to me, I'd be like, screw you.
Yeah.
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 I'm going to eat it. And it's good.
And you should.
And you look so happy.
Yes. And she's beautiful. And like, let her eat is such a weird thing. And I'm like, Mary.
But if you're a little bit insecure, that comment could
ruin you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And oh my gosh, I know. I was like, Mary, this is when I'm like, did you need to come back? And we get this random comment from Heather. She's talking to Angie and she says they all called her a lefty in high school because her left boob was bigger than the other one.
But she thought it was because she shoplifted.
I'm like, what? Where is this coming from? What is this? Just a random tidbit thrown in.
And that doesn't even make sense. Why would you think?
How
lefty
is shoplifting? I don't know. What were you shoplifting, Heather? We need to know. And then we get into the part where you're talking about Whitney stirring the pot. She pulls Monica aside.
No, hold on.
What?
The other awful comment that Mary makes to...
Oh, about Heather's outfit.
Yes.
Yes.
But I love... It is like Heather Gain knew. She defended that outfit. Mm-hmm. She was so quick. She was like, which also... A turtleneck and a giant necklace makes me feel claustrophobic just thinking about it. But she's like, yeah, I like my... Is she like, what does Mary say?
Mary says, Heather, what made you wear that necklace?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Heather says, I love it. And Mary said, you totally missed it on that one.
And she's like, I love it. I think the necklace adds flair to the turtleneck.
It brings in the champagne of the coat.
And I loved.
Yeah, because I think at some point you have to be like... I cannot let anything Mary says to me affect me. It's just going to go over my head because we know that she's unwell. So Whitney pulls Monica aside to tell her the rumor about Angie. And Monica, so I don't know if actually Meredith is the one who said it, but Monica is the one who says to Angie that people are saying Angie's husband is with men. And Whitney's response felt so staged. She was like, no. No. And I'm like,
well, I was like, it's not like you found out someone has stage 4 cancer.
Yeah. It was a rumor that has probably been around in Salt Lake for a long time because he's a hairdresser, which is stupid. And again, I hate when we bring in these rumors about the husbands being gay. It's in every franchise. It's so annoying. Like it's beyond annoying. And if I was Sean, I'd be like, why am I on this show to have this kind of crap happen on national TV?
So but it's also just laughable.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you were married, if someone said that about your husband and you know you don't have an arrangement and you're not being unfaithful, you would just be like, okay.
Yeah. I'm sure it's just more that he's tired of hearing it.
I'm sure.
After being a hairdresser in Salt Lake for however many years. They sit down and they tell Angie about the rumor. And this is where the episode ends. Because Angie's like, I'm going to go talk to Meredith right now. Which means, I guess Monica maybe did hear it from Meredith. That's why. And dun, dun, dun.
Well, but I think Meredith says she never actually said that. Because when Whitney and Monica are having a conversation, Whitney's like, did you hear about the rumors? And Monica's like, yeah, everybody's heard about them.
Okay.
I don't know that.
It was actually Meredith.
Meredith only says to Whitney. Meredith says to Whitney that she knows these rumors.
Okay. Again, rumors. Why are we talking about things that we don't have facts on? That is the end of the episode. We get into even more crazy next week. Ashley, thank you so much for coming on. This was delightful. And this, guys, is just like a regular snippet of what we talk about in regular life. Just
it used to have to be kind of like under the table. We talk about like, are you caught up? Have you watched it? And I feel like more and more people are joining in.
Have you listened to Danny? That's mostly what I said. Have you listened to Danny this week?
Yes.
Guys, Danny Pellegrino, the goal in life is to get him to come on this podcast and talk to me about Salt Lake Housewives. So we're going to get there, Danny.
He is the funniest.
He's the best.
We went to your show in Salt Lake.
We love you. We love you. We love you. Please come on the podcast. Danny, I'll tag you every single day. Thank you so much for listening, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. And if you want to follow on social media, my Instagram is Rosie in Real Life. The podcast Instagram is The Salty Housewife. I would love if you would follow along. We're going to be talking about all things housewives. Please rate the show. Give it a review if you love it. And I'm so grateful to be able to talk about all this with you. And I will see you guys next week.